This morning, welcome to Wyoming, where yesterday was summer and today is winter. So I'm delighted to see those of you who managed to get through the snow and the blowing wind to be present in the sanctuary this morning. And welcome to those who are viewing more remotely. We're glad to have you here. We do have several announcements. First of all, tonight at 7 p.m. is the Advent study. It is in person over at the UCC in the conference room upstairs, and it is on Zoom if you'd like to attend that way. And considering the weather, I'd recommend Zoom. Tomorrow, 12 to 1, is Food Pantry. This week we have Peggy Bjerke and Mary Lett as our volunteers. Tuesday here at 10 o'clock we have Bible study, and Thursday at 2 p.m. we have Bell Choir. Reminder to all women, a week from Wednesday, is it? We have our, I always forget the phrasing on it. Remind me, Lois. Anyway, it's our Christmas party where you are invited to wear fur or something fuzzy, to bring something for our potato bar, and just to have fun. And that will start at 12:30. Also a reminder, there are little slips that look like this on the table over there and perhaps in the back, stating everyone is invited to celebrate Robert L. Skip Hancock's 90 years of living. Saturday, December the 18th from 2 to 5. It's an open house at the Buffalo Senior Center, which is at 671 West Fetterman. So all are invited. And now I'm going to welcome the Johns family to come forward and light the two candles of our Advent. Thank you. probably going to have to help you. We praise you, O God, for this circle of light that marks our days of preparation for Christ's advent. As we light the candles on this wreath, kindle within us the fire of your Spirit, that we may be light shining in the darkness. Enlighten us with your grace, that we may welcome others as you have welcomed us. Grant this through Christ our Lord, whose coming is certain, and whose day draws near. Amen. Let us sing the first two verses of O Come, Emmanuel. It is number 257. And forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Let us join together in the gathering song, On Jordan's Bank, the Baptist Cry. It is number 249.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Give to all the people of the world knowledge of your salvation through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the readings.
God speaks to us in scripture, reading, preaching, and song. The first reading from the third chapter of Malachi. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old, and as in former years. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
We'll read Luke 1 responsively today. Blessed are you, Lord, the God of Israel. You have come to your people and set them free.
You have raised up for us a mighty Savior, born in the house of your servant David.
Through your holy prophets, you promised of old to save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us.
You show mercy to our forebears and to remember your holy covenant.
This was the oath you swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies.
We wish to worship you without fear, holy and righteous before you, all the days of our life.
And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare the way,
to give God's people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins.
In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us,
to shine on those who dwell in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace.
The second reading today is from the first chapter of Philippians. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart, for all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. Word of God, word of life.
Gospel according to Luke, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it was written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Do we have any children who want to come forward for the children's chat? I see one. Perfect. I see two. Even better. I missed seeing you last week. You weren't introduced to my sheep, were you? No. Remember my sheep?
Yep.
You do. Can't leave him in charge of you, though, can I? See, this is my sheep. And what he is doing, at least for Advent, maybe for the rest of the year, is keeping track of some little blue slips of paper. And on these papers, there are Bible verses. So I want to remind all of you to make sure that you get your Bible verse. How are you doing today? Do you like the snow? And what was that about a blizzard? It looks like a blizzard. Yeah, it's because the wind is blowing the way it is. It makes it really difficult to see where we're going, doesn't it? You saw a car off the road. Thank you for telling me that today. Because I had some people who graciously came and made sure that I got here today. They followed me and made sure that I was able to see where I was going. And the only way that I could see where I was going was to follow the tracks of the cars that went before me. Is that what you do when you're driving? Is to follow the tracks of people who've gone before you? You look on the side of the road. And you tell your mom. Okay, so you look on the side of the road and you tell your mom when to turn right and turn left. Okay. And how are you able to know when to turn right and left?
Because you can see the sidewalk.
You can see the sidewalk, okay. You can see the various ways that the road turns, right? So that you know that this way the road is going straight, and if you don't want to go straight, then there's another road that goes this other direction, right? And I'm really grateful for people who have done that, for people who have created these roads so that I can find my way. I'm really grateful for the cars that came in front of me so that I can follow their paths. Because they are people who have prepared the way for me, right? And that's what we're talking about a lot in Advent, is preparing the way. So that's what we've heard in today's gospel reading about John, known as John the Baptist, who prepared the way of the Lord. And so we think about him this week and next week. We'll hear more about John and how he prepared the way of the Lord and how we need to prepare ourselves for the coming of Jesus. What are you doing to prepare for Christmas?
Putting the presents on the tree.
You put the Christmas tree up. And what do you do when guests are coming? Does your mom make you clean your room? Yeah. Okay. And you get the house all ready. Because you don't want it, you take any clutter and you either throw it away or you hide it in places where they can't find it, right? Yeah, okay. Oh, like an elf. Tell me about the elf. There's an elf in your Christmas tree? Are you supposed to find him or is he just...
You're supposed to find him. It's my birthday today, and I was like...
Oh, it is. It's his birthday today.
Happy birthday.
We need to sing.
Okay.
We'll do that right now. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Well, today we had two readings from Luke. If you noticed, our psalm was actually from Luke. There are places we can find psalms other than in the book of Psalms. And so both of those readings dealt with John, who will be known as the Baptist. Well, perhaps there should have been three such readings, because in order to understand these two, you really need one more reading from Luke. And that is Luke chapter 1, verses 3 through 24, which set the scenes. We're told in the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. So both Zechariah and his wife were descendants of the priestly class. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and both of them were getting on in years. Once, when he was serving as priest before God and his section was on duty, Zechariah was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and to offer incense. At the time, the whole assembly of people was outside praying. There appeared to Zechariah an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. With the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before him to turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Sounds good, doesn't it? that they will not only have a child, but that that child will be filled with the Holy Spirit and cause people to be prepared for the coming of the Lord. But Zechariah shows how unprepared he was for God to actually answer his prayers, because he said to the angel, "How will I know this is so? For I am an old man, and my wife is getting on in years." In other words, what you're saying is impossible. The angel replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak, until the day these things occur." The words of Gabriel seemed impossible, and because Zechariah responded in unbelief, Gabriel pressed the mute button. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she remained in seclusion. She said, "This is what the Lord has done for me when he looked favorably on me and took away the disgrace I've endured among my people." These are the words of a person who believed that God had finally answered her prayers. Zechariah continued to be mute until he acknowledged the truth of the angel's words on that day when his son was circumcised. When he wrote these words, "His name is John," because all the people wanted to name this child after Zechariah. And they said, "John, how'd you come up with the name John? No one in the family's named John." And he says, "His name will be John." The name that the angel Gabriel had spoken to him. And then, filled with the Holy Spirit, his tongue unloosed, he burst forth into praise for God. He prophesied about the coming Messiah. "Blessed be the God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David." Only after these words of praise did Zechariah turn his attention to John, prophesying about the role his newborn son will play. "And you, my child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people for the forgiveness of their sins." Fast forward about 30 years to the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, and Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod ruler of Galilee, and his brother ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias ruler of Abilene. Don't you love all those words? And during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. The word of the Lord came not to the emperor or to the governor or to the tetrarchs or to the high priests, but instead to John, the son of Zechariah, now grown to adulthood. The words came not in Rome or Jerusalem, but in the wilderness. John fulfilled the words uttered by his father on the day of his circumcision. For John is the prophet who anticipated and prepared for the coming of the Lord. John also fulfilled the more ancient prophecy of Isaiah as he cried out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John's importance lies in who he is and what he does in relationship to Jesus. He is a prophet who goes before him to prepare the way for him. Those words from Isaiah chapter 40 speak of valleys being filled, mountains and hills being leveled, crooked paths being made straight. The people at the time of Christ would have known a lot about road construction. Roads were vital to maintenance and development of the Roman state, providing efficient means of the overland movement of armies, civilians, communications, and trade goods. They range from small local roads to broad, long-distance highways built to connect cities, major towns, and military bases. Some were cut through hills, some went over rivers and ravines through bridge work. Those who lived in Israel at the time of John would have seen those roads, traveled along them, perhaps even helped construct them. But what do these words of road construction mean here? For Isaiah, it meant a smoothing of the ground as a great highway laid down for the return of those who had been in exile, for all who had been taken away to Babylon and other foreign lands. It meant a return home, a return to the land promised by God to their ancestors, a return to the place where they could worship God as God desired to be worshipped. But those words take on greater meaning in Luke's gospel. John prepares the way of the Lord by proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, by pointing the way to the one who is to come. How do those words speak to us today? What sort of road is being constructed? How are we supposed to prepare the way of the Lord? Road construction. We know it well. Very often people say there are only two seasons, right? Winter and road construction. Yes. We know it very well. It's winter now. That means the road construction is supposed to stop, right? It is often inconvenient when it causes us to have to choose a different path than the one we want to travel. The roadway of which Luke writes is not a physical roadway, but a roadway of the heart. It is the one that allows God to speak to us in unexpected places. Perhaps at work, as was the case with Zechariah, or in our everyday living, as seems to be the case with Elizabeth, or in the wilderness, as was true for John. This road construction of the heart is not always convenient, and it often causes us to choose a different roadway than the one we want to travel. It is a corrective course that puts us back on the road we are to follow. You will notice that in our gospel reading it states that we are to make his path straight. But then it talks about every valley being filled, every mountain and hill being made low, every crooked road being made straight, every rough way being made smooth. But it does not say that we are the ones doing all the filling and leveling and straightening and smoothing. Instead, much of that appears to be God's work, making it easier for us to follow. Through Jesus, that has been accomplished. There is no barrier that stands between us and God, other than what we put up ourselves. Our job, as the people of God, is to keep that roadway open and in good repair, so that it does what it is designed to do, to allow all to see God's salvation. What repair work do you need to do this Advent in order to be prepared for Christ's coming? Let us conclude with these words from our second reading, taken from the opening chapter of Philippians. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. May your love overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. Amen. Let us join together in our hymn of the day, Prepare the Royal Highway. It is number 264. Let us join together in confessing our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. In the season of watching and waiting, let us pray for all people and places that yearn for God's presence. You send messengers into the world to proclaim the day of your coming. Make our bishops, pastors, deacons, and lay preachers confident in their preaching, that their words and their lives witness to your grace. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Send your Spirit to all living creatures that are endangered. Provide them with shelter and care, and bring us into right relationship with the earth that you create and call good. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Send leaders to our nations, cities, schools, and businesses to work on behalf of those who have lost parents, spouses, and loved ones, immigrants, the imprisoned, those living in poverty, and all who are oppressed. Make them bold in their commitments to justice and reconciliation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Send your servants to care for those who suffer. Use our ministries and our lives to reach out with compassion to those who are hungry, oppressed, lonely, or ill. Grant them healing and wholeness. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Send prophets to speak difficult truths, even when they are poorly received. Embolden those who ask hard questions and challenge accepted ways. Instill in youth and elders alike a passion for pointing to Jesus in all things. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We remember your saints, both those publicly celebrated and those more humbly remembered. Confident that your work will be completed, we live in faith until the day of your coming. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for all of those on our prayer chain and for those that we lift up right now, either aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. For Don, for Scott, for Shannon, for James. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of new life, you come among us in the places we least expect. Receive these prayers and those of our hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of peace. We thank you for sending in your offerings to the church or giving through online banking. Let us join together in our offertory hymn, We Give Thee But Thine Own. It is number 686.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of abundance, we bring before you the precious fruits of your creation, and with them our very lives. Teach us patience and hope as we care for all those in need until the coming of your Son, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will also make all things new, in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join your unending hymn.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God, for whom we wait, it is you who give us a foretaste of that day, when the hungry will be fed with good things. Send us forth to make known your deeds and to proclaim in greatness your name, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please stand as you are able for the blessing. And encouragement, grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace of believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
The God of all grace bless you now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Let us join together in our ascending song, There is a Voice in the Wilderness. It is number 255.
Thank you.
Thanks be to God.